Chapter 10. Irene. The Endgame Job. As she watched John Watson fall, as she watched Moriarty wave at them and give a goddamn interview for the cameras about criminals brought to justice, Irene Adler thought to herself, enough of this shit. She didn't struggle. Sherlock struggled. He yelled and resisted and tried to go to the body crumpled on the ground. Irene held out her hands for the cuffs. She smiled at the officers. Hello. Aren't you a lovely bunch? Don't listen to her. An alpha with bitter eyes shoved her into the vehicle. Sergeant Donovan, how lovely to see you again. Irene let her tongue caress the word lovely. She loved that word. Lovely. The world could use so much more lovely. It's Detective Inspector now. Her tone was almond bitter. Such a pity. Irene still had fond memories of their chats together, until Fuckwad scooped her up. Irene didn't begrudge her bitterness. Bitterness kept a heart hot in the cold of night. Irene was booked. Due to her potential as a risk of escape, she was sent to a minimum security facility, which wasn't precisely legal, but she imagined that she saw Fuckwad's overly dramatic hand. Irene smiled ever so serenely as they gave her an orange jumpsuit to wear. She was a winter. The color wasn't the best for her skin tone. She strolled into the yard on the first day. Her hands behind her back, she strolled into Visigoth territory. She walked right up to Sweet Susan, who'd gone to prison in the Thief Taker Series 2 finale. She was holding court by the north wall. Sweet Susan spat on the ground. Pitka, you got some bronze slapping into Visigoth dirt. Irene smiled ever so brightly. I was hoping I might have some steel. I have a proposal for you. May I give it? Whatever, Bicca. Sweet Susan shrugged the shrug of the triple lifer. It's a secret. Irene smiled her truest smile. Fine. Sweet Susan was so unafraid of this little twig of nothing. She motioned her closer. Irene whispered in her ear. Sweet Susan sat there with an ever-widening look on her wide face. You bitka, you don't got bronze. You tote's got a badge of steel. Yeah, I can get you what you want. I was hoping you'd say that. Irene sat down on the bench next to Sweet Susan. She tilted her face up to feel the warmth of the sun. On the first day of her trial, Dr. James Moriarty, the thief-taker general himself, came to the courthouse. He was followed by cameras for his sixth ratings-busting season. He was playing to the high seats. He was laughing at the world that didn't see him. He walked up to where she was sitting on her cheap wooden chair. Hey, sexy. Sorry to tell you. But that color doesn't suit you a bit. Hey, she coughed Fuckwad into her hand. She coughed something cold and hard and sharp into her hand, too. She paused for the cameras and their inevitable bleep. I tried telling them I'm a winter, but they just don't listen. She folded her hands in her lap. Her thumb pushed the bitter, biting thing in her palm. What do you say? Use your influence to get some jewel tones into the prison system. It's good that you can laugh. It'll keep you alive longer. Well, longer than some of our dearly departed. Did you see our Sherlock's face? His expression exaggerated his surprise. Oh, he was surprised. I was hoping for that reaction. But I didn't expect to get such good camera footage. Irene's face was a mask. She had no tells. Her hands didn't twitch. She didn't look to the right or left. She looked at Fuckwad, and let him think he was winding her up. He was winding down. She considered what the best line to exit on would be. "But you've been a very naughty girl." Moriarty grinned for his camera audience. His neck moved right to left like such a dangerous reptile, with such very sharp teeth, that smiled every day for the world. She'd felt those sharp teeth on her neck once, gripped and shredded, ribbons of her. "If I weren't good at being bad, I'd suppose it was my own fault for not practicing." Irene's hand flashed up, with Sweet Susan's razor blade still wet from her mouth, across his exposed neck. A single gushing cut, and Fuckwad was down. Irene let go of the blade and screamed. The best offense was a good defense. Still, and for all of that, the tears that fell from her eyes would only have been recognized as truly true by four people in the world. She sobbed the truth. "You said we'd be partners. Divide the world. You turn everything you touch to garbage." Her tears were real. Of the ones who could truly tell, one was bleeding out on the floor. One of them was a sociopath, who she'd last seen screaming his Parabon's name. One of them was really fucking scary. He really did not care. One of them was the Omega that had sliced a razor blade to bleed him. She'd meant to kill him, but she hadn't had a lot of practice. The bastard was still twitching. The cut hadn't been deep enough. Better luck next time. She let them rustle her down as they carried Fuckwad away. As Irene walked into the yard, it erupted in cheers and yells. Sweet Susan, with her sweet Omega scent, stood up and gestured for Irene to take the place of honor on her bench. Irene sat down and considered her shadow. "I didn't kill him." Sweet Susan's smile was made of honey. "Pitka, hadn't you heard? And you and the Holmes crew and all. Just a flash after you made your slice, tracks started popping up all over the net. Tying the thief taker and half his muscle to all sorts of crimes. All sorts of things about the good folks the thief taker done framed. Got my lawyers looking into a mistrial on account of tainted evidence. I'm walking on account of your slice." She slapped Irene's arm. "They even found evidence where thief taker was making paper for forged art in that fancy house of his." Irene was having trouble processing the words. They were coming out of Sweet Susan's mouth, but they were taking an extra second to have meaning. Other half of his chief muscles started to come down with a serious cases of dead. Black Orchid Tong, Russo Mafia, Colombians. Thief Taker's pissed off a lot of people with a lot of juice. Birds have been singing about the Thief Taker General all around the world. I hear all three of his shows got the axe. Way I hear it, Thief Taker been taken. Don't know if I could get a crack at him. Sweet Susan cracked her knuckles. But wouldn't it be sweet? Irene was still taking all that in when a dozen hungry lawyers descended and spun everything cartwheel around. Alpha Shark Lawyer One tossed her long white hair. "My lord, if it pleases your honor, but our client cannot be held for malfeasance against Mr. James Moriarty, as she was only acting upon her legal rights as his bonded, in pursuance of confronting him for serially acting in breach of promise before a court of law, as first defined by the Assizes of Clarendon in 1166, and reformed by the Schlesenspiegel of 1704 to allow for reciprocity by Omegas. It then pleased the court to have entered into evidence her own long-ago bonding within a week of Fuckwad bonding with Sherlock and fucking over Charlie, her fucking beta high school sweetheart, and another four for the other remaining genders. Fuckwad was a completist. He didn't clean up after himself at all, though. He'd always preferred to keep his jar of hearts. Sherlock was unavailable to testify, as it appeared that despite being chained to the floor, in the middle of a maximum security prison, while under watched guard, Sherlock had vanished. All photos and recordings of him had also vanished. Bless Molly. When the issue of the charges for armed robbery was raised, Alpha Shark lawyers 5, 6, and 8 smiled with all their teeth and entered into evidence the reams of newly emerging evidence, tying Mr. James Moriarty to at least 11 known instances, more emerging each minute, of framing innocent individuals for purposes not within the jurisdiction of this court on this day. Alpha Shark lawyer number 1 tossed her long white hair and smiled with brilliant teeth. Any cases associated with Mr. James Moriarty must be seriously called into question. His lord very much wanted to not be pleased, but Irene watched with wide-open eyes as he bent over and omegaed for them. Oh, he pretended. He remanded her to custody in her home with a lojack. Irene found herself tumbled out onto the streets and into her rented house, overlooking the London Eye. She laughed and she laughed and she laughed. She wrapped her arms around her knees, and she rested her head from all that laughing. The Holmes brothers visited her after that. Not together, no. Not together. Mycroft strolled into her apartment. Colonel Moran smirked after him, carrying a basket. Mycroft said, "Beaujolais, bread, a selection of artisanal cheese, a little bruschetta from that café that you enjoyed so much in Lyon." There was nothing for it. They ate dinner. The wine was incredible. She arched an eyebrow, his lips curved on the left. Of course he hadn't actually destroyed Mr. Charles Milverton's records. Irene licked a crumb of cheese from the corner of her mouth. Mycroft bit into a slice of toast that crunched as he bit. Why, yes, he had had several very illuminating conversations with the gracious Alpha General of the Black Lotus about the possibilities for her advancement to Commissar, were she to consider the favorability of a slightly different alliance that acknowledged her quality. Power abhorred a vacuum, after all. Colonel Moran tapped on her game. Irene poured herself some more wine. Mycroft accepted a refill. The tilt of his glass indicated that, yes, wars did indeed create the peace that followed. But yes, he had understood that, given the tenor of Irene's feelings, that when they were caught, she would likely do as she had at her only opportunity, in a court of law. Yes, he had known about the law that freed her. Irene turned her glass in a circle on the table. Mycroft pushed his away from him. No, he had not expected, predicted, calculated John. His lips curled down on one side. He looked at the ceiling. He was worried about Sherlock. He always was. After Mycroft left, Irene put the food that remained in the refrigerator. It was the only food there, not counting the life form growing in the spinach. Irene did the only reasonable thing. She called her dad. They talked about everything and then nothing for a few hours. She got some news that wasn't great. It was really not great. It made the whole last few days of not great a whole lot not greater. She stared at a wall, thinking about what she could do. But talking about the big C, no one to frame or grift, nothing to steal. An hour after that, she found Sherlock perched in her window. He looked at her, and she looked at him. She ached to see the data of him so scattered. He said, "I need to defragment." She sighed. "Come on, love. Do that inside." He slid forward out of the window and onto the floor. He wrapped his arms around his legs. She could hear his brain whirring. She sat down next to him. An hour later, they were still sitting there.